decided action to be taken now. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, October 1903. During the night, the Spirit of God has been presenting many things to my mind. The experience that was given us at the last General Conference was of God. Had Dr. Kellogg then done thorough work, the terrible experience through which we are now passing would never have been. Again, God has permitted the presentation in Living Temple to be made to reveal the danger threatening us. The working that has been so ingeniously carried on, He has permitted in order that things might be developed, in order that it might be seen what man can do with human minds, because he has obtained their confidence as a physician. He has permitted this crisis to come, to open the eyes of those who desire to know the truth. He would have them see how Satan's sophistry has been aided by Satan's devising. Dr. Kellogg has been regarded as a god, and he has been left to show what self-exaltation leads to when man acts a part, similar to the part that Satan acted in Eden, when he presents to those who know the truth scientific, spiritualistic sentiments which do away with a personal God, representing the Creator as an essence pervading nature. This work has been done, and the results of this insidious devising will break out again and again. Dr. Kellogg is no longer to be looked upon as a safe teacher of Bible truth. There are many for whom efforts will have to be put forth to lead them away from specious deception. How dangerous it is, and always will be, so to exalt a man that he seeks to make on minds impressions that are opposed to the sacred truths that for the last 50 years God has been giving us. I am now authorized to say that the time has come when decided action should be taken. The development seen in the cause of God is similar to the development seen when Balaam caused Israel to sin just before they entered the promised land. Few can see the meaning of the present apostasy, but the Lord has lifted the curtain and has shown me its meaning and the result that it will bring if allowed to continue. We must now lift our voices in warning. Who will acknowledge God as the supreme ruler? Who will choose the misleading arguments and views that make him, in the minds of those who accept them, as nothingness? These words were spoken to me in the night season. The sentiments in Living Temple regarding the personality of God have been received even by men who have a long experience in the truth. When such men thus consent to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we are no longer to regard the subject as a matter to be handled with the greatest delicacy. That those whom we thought sound in the faith have failed to discern the specious, deadly influence of this science of evil should alarm us as nothing else has alarmed us. It is something that cannot be treated as a small matter that men, who have had so much light and such clear evidence as to the genuineness of the truth we hold, should become unsettled and led to accept theories that rob us of a personal God, putting in his place a farce. These doctrines sweep away the whole Christian economy. They estimate as nothingness the light that Christ came from heaven to give to John, to give to his people. They teach that the scenes just before us are not of sufficient importance to be brought into account. Nothing could be more false than the doctrines that bring God down to a level where he is nothingness. These doctrines make of no effect the truth of heavenly origin. Were they received by the people of God, they would rob them of their past experience, giving them a lie instead. During the past night, I have been shown more distinctly than ever before that these sentiments are looked upon by some as the grand truths that are to be brought in at the present time. I was shown a platform, braced by solid timbers, the truths of the Word of God. Dr. Kellogg was directing this man and that man to loosen the timbers supporting the platform. Then I heard a voice saying, "Where are the watchmen that ought to be standing on the walls of Zion? Are they asleep? How can they be silent? This foundation was built by the master worker and will stand storm and tempest. Will they permit this man to present doctrines that deny the past experience of the people of God? The time has come to take decided action. Every effort has been made to save this man. He has been used to do a good work. But no longer can he be trusted as a teacher of truth.
I was instructed to call upon our physicians and ministers to take a firm stand for the truth. We are not to allow atheistic, spiritualistic sentiments to be brought before our youth. God has led us in the past, giving us truth, eternal truth. By this truth, we are to stand. Dr. Kellogg and his associates have been deceived, and if they continue to hold fanciful, spiritualistic ideas, they will make many believe that the platform upon which we have been standing for the last 50 years has been torn away. I now bear my testimony plainly that Dr. Kellogg has departed from the faith and has given heed to the seductions of satanic agencies. He has not heeded the admonitions that have come to him from the Lord, and I am instructed to say that for years he has been departing from the faith. Who will now take their stand on the Lord's side? Let these fanciful theories now be regarded as soul-destroying sentiments, for thus they are. No longer is there to be any hesitancy in calling things by the right name. How dare any man venture to speak of God as he is spoken of in Living Temple? How dare anyone seek to make of no effect the experience of Seventh-day Adventists for the last 50 years? I know what this means, for the truth in its reality has been presented to me. The Lord God Omnipotent reigneth. The men who have been deceived, who call themselves medical missionaries, need now to see with anointed eyes, with clear, spiritual vision, that in spite of all man can do, the foundation of God standeth sure, and the Lord knoweth them that are his. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. The message to the Laodicean church comes to us at this time with special meaning. Read it, and ask God to show you its import. Thank God that he is still sending us messages of mercy. The one believing the theories contained in Living Temple regarding God would, unless he should change, be led finally to look upon the whole Bible as a fiction, for these theories make of no account the plain Word of God. Satan is working to get as large a number as possible gathered together at Battle Creek, to make of no effect the impression that God would have made on the minds of those engaged in the medical missionary work and in the gospel ministry. The judgments of God have been distinctly visited upon Battle Creek, and these judgments call for humiliation rather than for proud boasting and self-exaltation. Dr. Kellogg has not known whither his feet were tending. His tendencies toward pantheism have at last been revealed. God abhors his great swelling words of vanity. The heavenly messenger turned to those professing to be medical missionaries and said, "How could you allow yourselves to be led blindfold? How could you so misrepresent the name you bear? You have your Bibles. Why have you not reasoned from cause to effect? You have accepted theories which have led you away from the truths that are to stamp their impress upon the characters of Seventh-day Adventists." Dr. Kellogg has been removing the foundation timbers one by one, and his reasoning would soon leave us with no foundation for our faith. He has not received the testimonies that God through his Spirit has given. They are to him as idle tales. The books containing such important instruction are discarded because they say so much about a personal God. What authority has man for treating God as a mere vagary? Where is the spirituality in this? What evidence does the one who does this give that he possesses a character higher than the character of God? Oh, to what lengths of folly and folly Satan, through his hypnotism, leads men. Satan has sought to bring in the supposition that a reformation was to take place among Seventh-day Adventists, and that this reformation would consist in giving up the pillars of our faith for a process of reorganization. Were this reformation to take place, what would result? The principles that God in his wisdom has given would be discarded. Our religion would be changed. The fundamental principles that have sustained the work for the last 50 years would be shown to be error. A new organization would be established. A system of intellectual philosophy would be formed. Books of a new order would be written. The founders of this system would go into the cities and do a wonderful work. The Sabbath, of course, would go with the God who created it. Nothing would be allowed to stand in the way of the new movement. The leaders would teach that virtue is better than vice, but God being removed, they would place their dependence on human power, which, without God, is worthless. Their foundation would be built on the sand, and the storm and tempest would sweep away the building.
Who has authority to say that such a reformation should take place? We have our Bibles. We have our experience, attested to by the miraculous working of the Holy Spirit. We have a truth that admits of no compromise. Shall we not repudiate everything that is not in harmony with this truth? A mind trained only in worldly science fails to discern the deep things of God. But the same mind, converted and sanctified, would see the divine power in the Word. Only the mind cleansed by the sanctification of the Spirit can discern heavenly things. The Scriptures, given by the inspiration of God, are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16-17. Go to the word of God, brethren, to a thus saith the Lord. We have had enough of human methods. Awake to your God-given responsibilities. Your judgment, unless perverted by a long practice of false principles, will discern the deep things of God, given by His Holy Spirit, and your hearts will be made susceptible to the teaching of the Word. The leadings of the Holy Spirit of God through His Word are to be our guide. May God bring His people under the deep movings of His Spirit. The Spirit makes efficient the ordinary means of grace. God teaches that His kingdom is to be established in the earth not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Zechariah 4, verse 6. The Spirit is the efficiency of His people. The spirit of prayer is mighty through faith to the pulling down of the strongholds of the enemy. I am instructed to say that those who would tear down the foundation that God has laid are not to be accepted as leaders of His people. We are to hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Words of power have been sent by God and by Christ to this people, bringing them out from the world, point by point, step by step, into the clear light of present truth. With lips touched with holy fire, God's servants have proclaimed the message. The divine utterance has set its seal to the genuineness of the truth proclaimed. The Lord calls for a renewal of the straight testimony born in years past. He calls for a renewal of spiritual life. The spiritual energies of His people have long been torpid, but there will be a resurrection from apparent death. In the future, God will call for the gifts and talents of men not now actively engaged in His service. Let these respond to His call, putting their trust in the great medical missionary. The power that is the life of the soul has not been seen as it must be. It has been smothered for want of spiritual ventilation, the blending of human effort and divine grace. God is calling upon His people to work. As they idle away the precious, golden moments of opportunity, He comes to them saying, "Go work today in My vineyard." Matthew 21, verse 28. We must clear the king's highway by prayer and confession of sin. The power of the Spirit will come to us as we do this.
We need Pentecostal energy. This will come, for the Lord has promised to send His Spirit as the all-conquering power. Mighty is this power. The precious God, whom we all love, will inspire the energies of His people. Men may still learn the things that belong to their peace. Mercy's voice may still be heard, calling, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 28-30. It is only when spiritual life is given that rest is found and lasting good secured. We must be able to say in storm or tempest, "Our anchor holds." He who builds upon any other foundation than that which has been laid builds upon shifting sand. He who seeks to bring about a reformation without the aid of the Holy Spirit's reviving power will find himself adrift. God calls for a reformation. Those who turn from human foolishness and frailty, from man's seductive arts, from Satan's planning to Christ, the shepherd and bishop of our souls, will stand secure upon the platform of eternal truth.